Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the group call. And once again, if you want to talk to me, press 1, and that way we know you're on the call. So just a quick announcement I want to make. A lot of people are just finishing up the case study now. They're in the 5th and 6th month, and they've expressed an interest in continuing to work with their coach or having some support of some kind. And we're going to be sending an email out later this week about that and doing a kind of structure so that if you're enjoying working with your coach and you want to continue to work with your coach and you want to still also have the ability to call me during my office hours, we're going to structure a casual arrangement just for our case study people, so you can keep going, so that you can have as much support as you need. There will be no contract, no obligation. It will be on a casual basis. So look for that email later this week, and if you have any questions, you can come in. You can email us. And I just want to bring Brian in to start with, Coach Brian, who wants to talk a little bit about vitality, life force energy, what it is, how to get more of it, and he's got some really good insights. So let's bring Brian in if we can, Aaron. Brian, are you there?
I'm here, John. G'day. How are you?
G'day. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm good. I'm just back from a 10-day beach holiday, so I'm feeling quite refreshed and ready to go.
Where'd you go?
I went down to a place called Middleton, which is about an hour and a half from my home here in Adelaide, and it's known as a bit of a surf beach, and I like, you know, I'm not much of a surfer, but I love to get out on the boogie board, so yeah, I went out there and got smashed around every day with the kids, and yeah, it was just awesome.
Beautiful, yeah. Oh, when do the kids start school again? Next week, right?
Yeah, Tuesday. Bring it on.
Okay. Good. So
you're loving the dance, but I'm looking forward to seeing them go back. So, yeah, you know, what I want to talk to the guys today about was, you know, vitality. In your book, you described it as a zero-calorie nutrient. And just, you know, whilst I was on my holidays, it became really apparent to me the, you know, the power of it, the importance of getting it and of being aware of ways of, you know, improving it, because, you know, leading up until Christmas and, like, you know, last year was a massive year for me, and although I work as a fitness trainer, I do spend a lot of my times I'm indoors. And, I was aware of it, you know, like I was eating really well and I was drinking water and I was, you know, doing the visualization, I was doing some training and, you know, really, I was getting enough sleep, so really I should have been bursting out of my skin, but, you know, come to the end of the year, like I wasn't. I was thinking, what's going on? Like, I've got a virus, or, you know, am I just run down, or am I kidding myself, or, you know? Yeah, I was feeling a bit flat, and, you know, sort of devitalized is the best description. And then, anyway, didn't think too much about it, you know, just kept on going. Thought it was a stage I'd come out of. Got down on the holiday, kicked the shoes off, started walking around on the sand. You know, one day I was sitting there back on the balcony with my wife, and I said, you know, I just feel completely different than I did, you know, yesterday. And it got me thinking about, you know, what have I changed? And, like, you know, sure, I've been on holidays, but, you know, when you're on holidays with kids, it's not necessarily the most, it's not, you know, cannot be that relaxing. But I thought, you know, maybe it's just that connection with the earth that I've been missing, you know, that you know, primal connection of just my bare feet on the earth and you know, and grabbing that vitality from there. So I looked in a little bit further, you know, into that, and I found a whole heap of research that, you know, really proves, you know, the fact that there is a measurable energy that we draw in from the earth and also from the sunshine that, you know, provides an energy that, you know, we can draw from food as well, but sort of like enhances that energy that we draw from the food, and is one that can be often be lacking in people as they leave their modern day lifestyle. What do you think about that, John?
Yeah, I've been studying life force vitality more and more over a number of years now, and it's become sort of my primary focus when I talk about overall health. Certainly for me, and I always try to feed it into the work that I'm doing with other people. But the problem is that it's just so alien to people, and it makes no sense. You know, there's thousands of years of trial and error type of research in China and in India that we have life force energy, that there's life force energy all around us, that it runs through these life force meridians, acupuncture meridians, that enable this life force to travel all through our body, and that is our vitality. You know, when you take away that life force, you're revitalized. You take it all away, and you're dead. It's that life force is our vitality. And there's a really good book out that I recommend everybody read called Genie in Your Genes by Dawson Church. And he studies energetic medicine, so he's one of the tapping guys, you know, the EFT guys. And tapping is a type of energetic medicine. It enables you to break through emotional blockages through tapping on different meridians that break energetic circuits. And he's also a scientist and a great researcher. And there's so much research in his book that documents that we have life force energy, that it's all around us, that it's in our food, that it runs through our bodies. And studies where they measured electrical impulses on the areas that are supposed to be our acupuncture meridians, and they registered a totally different energy than a couple of centimeters away, like on your same arm, of those acupuncture meridians. So what I'm finding, what I'm discovering, is that the more that energy is flowing, the more you're feeding it with, like you say, like sunlight and healthy foods and nature, and the more it's flowing through your body, the more it's unblocked, the more energy you have. And you can be young at any age. I mean, I feel 20 years younger than I did 10 years ago. You can feel young at any age if this life force is flowing. And there's a couple of ways to make it flow. One is to, as you say, to get sunlight, to get really healthy nutrients. Also, flexibility work. Because one of the things that Dawson Church found, he found a study that shows that our connective tissues are like an energetic lattice of crystalline structure that conducts energy. And when your connective tissue is all tight, your energy is not flowing. And do you know that feeling when your legs are real tight and you don't have energy?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I also know when you do have a stretch and you've got more energy after your stretch, you haven't really done anything. But have a stretch, so that, you know, sort of confirms it for you.
Right, and then another way to get your energy channels open and flowing is to do mind-body practices like meditation and qigong, because apparently, according to Eastern medicine, that energy moves with your mind. So if you imagine a lot of the visualizations, we imagine white light running through your body. When you're doing that, you're bringing life force energy to different areas of your body, and it's unblocking it. So doing these sort of visualizations will get that energy flowing. And then another really important one is grounding work. So grounding work is so that your energy channels are not only open and flowing, but they're so open that the energy can go into the earth. It can ground you. And what they do in Qigong, the study of Qigong, which is like a moving meditation specifically geared toward opening up your energy channels, in Qigong, their whole focus is grounding, because they believe that if your energy channels are open and if you're grounded, if you can go into the ground with your energy, you can take in so much energy from the outside world that it's unbelievable. And the only thing that stops you is that you can't ground it. So all their work is done on grounding, which is imagining energy coming up from the earth and down from the earth. And one thing that I've found recently with myself with grounding is that I've been doing a meditation now for years, and I do it in my bedroom. I'm sitting in my bed with my feet on the ground, but my bedroom's on the second floor. And just recently, my meditations have been getting very strong, and I can feel this life force energy building up, and my feet start to burn. And literally, they're burning like I'm walking on coals. And I've walked on hot coals. I've done it three times in my life, you know, when you do that fire walk. It didn't feel anything like the way my feet are burning. So I had to start meditating downstairs. And eventually I had to start meditating outside with my feet on the ground, because that was the only way that I could channel all this energy without it burning my feet. And when I do that, I get this enormous, really infuse of energy. And that energy lasts me the whole day, and where I just never, ever get tired. I don't crave bad foods. it's a perfect way, like you say, a zero calorie nutrient to energize your body. So we're doing a couple of things recently where we have coming out in the next 6 months, a yoga for weight loss one, which deals with the flexibility aspect to help your energy channels, and also a Qigong for weight loss, which helps open up those energy channels and ground you so that you can get that life force vitality. And those are
cool.
Two different type of things we're working on and we'll have out in the next couple of months. But
when you think of getting energy, the first thing you think of is eating or drinking. Yet there's a whole other avenue that people can explore to, you know, increase, you know, what they're lacking. Is that right, like, in terms of turning your fat program on? So I've got a couple of clients of mine, one of them in particular, she eats really well, you know, she drinks well, or, like, you know, she's really, you know, following the program well, yet her energy levels are, you know, still quite low. I was coaching her yesterday, and we came to the conclusion that it's this life force vitality is what she's missing, and she's, you know, really excited because she's thinking, you know, when we just went through her lifestyle, she said, yeah, I'm not connected to nature. I'm not, you know, unblocking those energy channels. So it might be something other people in the case study can think about of, you know, increasing the importance of it, you know, in their life to tap into that sort of, you know, that infinite energy that's available to them.
Well, absolutely right. And one of the things that causes energy blockages also is emotional problems. Toxins can cause emotional energetic blockages. Emotional problems can cause energetic blockages. Stress can cause energetic blockages. All these things block up your energy channels. So doing all the things that you're doing will help unblock it. But it really comes down to you need to give yourself the specific nutrient, the specific type of nutrient you need. And if you don't, food will never satisfy you. So like you're saying, if you're not getting the life force you need, you can eat and eat and eat, and you're not going to be satisfied because you're not getting a specific nutrient you need. If you're not getting enough sleep, right, you have sleep apnea, it's going to make you hungry.
Yeah.
And you can eat and eat and eat, but you need sleep. So it's never going to satisfy you. If you're chronically dehydrated, you can eat and eat, it's never going to satisfy you. So the whole key is you need to give yourself the specific nutrient you need, whether it's sunlight, air, earth, nature, love, affection.
Anything, and
with food, the specific nutrients you need. So that's really what it comes down to when you're talking about energy, is giving yourself the specific nutrient you need and allowing those channels open to receive them, even in your stomach. I mean, if your stomach is not working right, those channels are not open, so you're not able to receive the nutrients. It's the same as having your energy channels blocked. So having everything opening and flowing and giving yourself, exposing yourself to the nutrients you need is the secret to long life, health, and vitality. There's no question about it. Yeah,
it's cool. Yeah. Another thing, I don't know if you've got anything further, but another thing I wanted to chat quickly about, we did the webinar about, you know, GM Fitness, and we spoke last time I was on the call about GM Fitness, and I got a lot of emails and a lot of questions, you know, about it, about the specifics of it, and it sort of got me a little bit worried that, you know, sometimes people get caught up in the details, yet it's a concept that, you know, we want people to embrace, and you know, whilst it's great to do the Tabata protocol, you know, that's a proven one. You can go off, you can do your 20 seconds, 10 seconds. You know, that's proven, that's effective, that's great. However, there's so many other ways of having the same effect without, you know, having to do that, going to a pool or whatever. You know, for example, I was just thinking about this. I was doing a bit of shopping this morning with my little fella, and what we're doing, we're playing a game. You know, he would, like, take off in front of me, and I'd chase him down with a trolley, you know, as fast as I could, and then we'd do one aisle, and the next aisle we'd go, you know, slowly, and then the next aisle we'd go, you know, as fast as we can. And then I thought, you know, people can do that, you know, in the office. You know, say you're sitting down, you're having a bad day, you can feel your stress levels increasing, stand up, walk as quickly as you can to the water fountain, grab yourself a drink, and then, you know, back to your desk. But just bring in that concept of moving quickly as often as you can during the day will stimulate that same get seen, get eaten response that we're trying to embrace when we're doing and when we're following the GM Fitness protocols.
Yeah, and as you say, I agree, the Tabata protocol is really kind of arbitrary in a sense. All it did was demonstrate that short workouts with periodic intensity work better than long workouts without intensity. That's all it demonstrated. It doesn't mean that if you're doing 10 seconds on, 20 seconds off, it's going to be all the much different than if you're doing 15 seconds on, 10 seconds off, or whatever it is. Like for me these days, I know that all I need is some type of intensity, and that could happen in just one quick burst. If I don't have time to work out, sometimes I got a big hill next to my house. I'll walk down the hill, I'll sprint up it. Maybe I'll do it twice.
Yeah.
I know I've gotten what I needed. You need that intensity, and that intensity does several things hormonally, as we know, but it also conceptually works because it's sort of that signal to your body that you need to be thin in order to escape from a predator. So I think you're absolutely right. Don't get too bogged down on the specifics. Just take the concept. And that's really true of everything we do because people freak out if they can't get flax seeds or if they don't grind chia seeds. That's not going to make or break it. It's just another way of nourishing your body. Don't get too focused on that. Focus on the whole picture and the concept.
Yeah. You know, another thing, John, that was just popped into my head there, when we're talking about visualizations, you know, we encourage people to do the morning visualization, evening visualization, afternoon visualization. I've had a lot of people over the time when I've been coaching, you know, you can just feel the stress building up in their voice when they speak about, you know, oh, they've missed one or, you know, they can't fit the afternoon one.
Yeah.
You know, what I've been saying to them about is that, you know, you can visualize at any time of the day, you know, you can visualize in your waking state. And I'm just thinking about that one that I do, that I've done, you know, quite often. So, you know, that one that's called, the fat wash, you know, when you're in the shower.
Yep,
you're in the shower
and
you're hitting you. You know, you can do that one daily. So there's one, you know, you can tick the box. When you're in your normal working state, so if you're doing your dishes or, you know, watering the garden, just imagining your body and your ideal body, you know, seeing your muscles, you know, working. So whilst it's good to get into the practice of doing the visualizations at a certain part of day, don't freak out if you can't get them done. You know, like if you've got children or work or whatever is happening, but just be conscious of the fact that the concept you can bring into your daily life, and you can do it quite often, and you know during your day, without you know taking yourself away from, you know your normal duties. And in that way, like the more often you do them, I've found the more beneficial they become.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. It's just really whenever you think about it.
You
have to look at it. This is a forever thing. You know, you're developing habits
that
are positive habits that are going to stay with you forever. That's what's important here. It's not whether or not you've done everything in one given day. You know, we're conditioned to being on a program, and you have to take X number of pills at a certain time, and you have to have your protein shake at another time, and if you're off of it, you're off of it. That's not what's happening here. We're nourishing our bodies. We're nourishing our mind. We're learning how to love ourselves at every level of our being. And it's going to take us wherever it's going to take us, but it's going to take us on a positive path of health and well-being and weight loss. And it's going to happen at whatever rate it's going to happen. But the more we can just make it a concept where we're just feeling good and adding whenever we can, the more sustainable it's going to be. I think people feel they get discouraged if they become too dogmatic about it. But let me ask you now. You know, you've got people that are in their 6 month now, are going full cycle. What are you finding from people that have gone through the program?
So some of them, I would say that everyone's come to the end. The ones that I've coached, I've done about four or five that have you know wrapped up the 6 months in the last couple of days, and all of them are positive in their outlook for the future, okay, in terms of their ability to control stress. You know, they know a lot more about the foods they're going to nourish them. They've, you know, certainly identified the triggers that have turned their fat programs on and have got the tools to, you know, correct them long term. And what I've been, you know, most pleased with is the attitude of people that, you know, this is a lifestyle that I'm going to adopt, you know, for the rest of my life. This 6 months has been a process of learning how to incorporate those tools, and then they're ready to go on and, you know, further, you know, embrace the concept and make it, you know, part of their daily life. But it's been, you know, it's been a wonderful, opportunity and privilege for me to work, you know, with these people, so closely. And I also think that, you know, a lot of them have lost substantial amounts of weight, which is great. There are others that are on the cusp, you know, they're on the cusp of it. And, you know, the last call was really I've been really encouraging them to, you know, focus on the positives that they've achieved, because, you know, they've all achieved, like, magnificent results, in other areas. And whilst the weight loss hasn't appeared, you know, in the substantial amount that they've hoped for, I would say, you know, over the next 6 months, 12 months, you know, 24 months, continuing the same pattern that they're going to, then, you know, the weight loss occurs just as a result of that.
Well, I'd really like to do that. I'd like to check in with people 6 months down the road and see where they are, because I can tell when people call in from talking to them that they're showing all the signs that weight loss is imminent, when they're not hungry anymore in the afternoons, they don't have junk food cravings, and they're craving more salads. You know, they're not as stressed out anymore. They're feeling safer. It's just a matter of time. But I've seen the same thing in the people that I've talked to, is that some people have lost amazing amounts of weight, and other people haven't, but they feel unbelievable, and they wouldn't trade the experience that they've had for the world, because it's given them tools and habits that they're going to be able to use for the rest of their life.
Yeah, and I think a lot of we've given them a lot of information over 6 months, and sometimes it takes a little while to process it. You know, so quite sure. 6 months has gone by, you know, quite quickly. You know, the information is there for them, and, you know, when they're ready, I find my own life, you know, when they're ready, these things tend to, you know, pop up in front of you. And just like the devitalization, you know, getting out on the beach made such a huge difference for me. Like little things like that just, you know, present themselves, and they can be the real turnkey for long-term change. I just know myself, I'm kicking my shoes off every day and going standing out in the park, and I've been doing the eating the sun technique every afternoon, and you know, my vitality around the place has improved out of sight as a result.
Excellent. Cool. All right, Brian, that's great. And I just want to say again, you know, the people that I've been talking to, that you've been working with, are just so pleased and grateful for the work that you're doing. So I really appreciate it very much. Yeah. I just think you're doing an awesome job. So.
Yeah, no, it's no worries. Hey. My pleasure. I hope to do it for a lot longer.
Me too. All right. Thanks very much, Brian.
All right, you have a good day. Thanks, everyone. See you then.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we still have a lot of calls from, once again, if you have any questions, press 1, and I can take your questions now. But we did have a ton of questions from the UCE, from the webinars that we did with Brian and with Paul and with Heather and with Neil. And we're still catching up on some of those. And Shannon has a few of them that she wanted to bring into the case study calls. So I'm just going to bring Shannon on and let her ask those questions for us.
Hi, John.
Hey, Shannon. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Following on from talking a bit about exercise, I've got a couple of questions about that. Kathy is asking, if you love exercise and want to do it vigorously for, say, an hour a day, is that not recommended?
Yeah, okay. So when we were in that webinar, we were talking about the dangers of overtraining. So overtraining can cause your cortisol levels to elevate and cause your body to start actually putting on weight, despite the fact that you're burning in calories night and day. Your body's going to still go into kind of a fat storage mode. You're going to crave more fattening foods, and your metabolism is going to slow down if you exercise too much. Now, some people just want to exercise and they love exercise, and that's fine and that's great. Don't change that if it's working for you. But the way you know that it's working for you is how you feel about your workouts. So if you're dreading your workouts, if you're tired all the time, if you feel like you're really forcing yourself, then you're overtraining. And so that's why we say to take at least three complete full rest days off a week, and so that your body can recuperate. Now, if you're one of these people that exercises 7 days a week and you don't want to give that up, what I would suggest is that you exercise 4 times a week, but you do 7 sessions. So you're still doing the same number of exercise sessions, right? Still burning the same calories, which in reality we know is not the most relevant thing at all. But you're still doing the same exercise session, but you're getting 3 rest days. So if you do that, you'll have intensity for your workout. So just double up a couple of days if that's really, really important to you. Otherwise, if you're exercising 7 days a week or 5 days a week even, and you're just feeling like it's just such a monumental task and such a chore and you're tired all the time, back off for a little while. Start doing the intensity work that we talked about. And we're going to do a replay of those webinars very soon. So re-listen to that one if you have any questions. Okay.
Okay.
Good question.
Next one's from Ruby about swimming as exercise. Do you think swimming also excites the cold response, that being an insulator and helps to avoid the cold?
So I had brought up the point about swimming that, you know, while swimming burns calories and strengthens muscles and does it in a low compression type of way or low impact kind of way and keeps you flexible too, all those different things are great for swimming. One of the things that might not be great for swimming is that for survival reasons, your body's going to want to keep you slightly buoyant. And if you look at even the best swimmers in the world who swim hours and hours a day, some of them have just a tiny layer of extra fat, and that's keeping them buoyant, that's making them swim better. So your body's always kind of evolving or adapting to be most suited to whatever the stress is you're applying. So to be the best adapted to swimming, your body's going to want to retain just a little bit of layer of fat. And she's bringing up the point that if it's cold, your body's going to want to retain a little bit of fat too. If you're doing it too much, doing swimming a little bit is great. Again, if you are doing swimming, do the sprinting type of work. And one of the things that I do now, and I do this on the beach, but you could probably do it, you could do it in a pool, is I run in water, up to my, just between my hips and my knees. So in the middle of my thighs, that's how deep the water is. And it's great if you can do it at the ocean because the current's pulling you. And I'll sprint for about 10 seconds, very low impact. So it's easy on my joints, but you get a tremendous workout, and you can do that in the pool, and that's not going to create any of those problems that we talked about. You don't need to be buoyant because you're not floating, and you don't need to insulate your organs because your organs aren't exposed to the cold. So that's a great way to use water, and it's better than running. See, for me, if I try to run, it's going to bother my knees, it's going to bother my back, and a lot of people are in that situation. So running in water halfway up to your thigh is a great alternative. Okay. What's the next one?
All right, next question from Maureen about toxins. How does not getting rid of toxins equate to not losing weight?
Okay. So toxins, what happens is if you are taking in more toxins than you are burning, your body has to store those toxins somewhere. They can't just be swimming around your bloodstream because they're going to be causing problems to your organs, to your livers, and to all the different organs in your body. So your body has to either eliminate the toxins or store them. So if you're living a modern-day life with a modern-day diet, you look at just bread and wheat, okay? For example, it's going to have 20 different types of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides. It's going to be irradiated. It's going to be genetically modified. All these things are very toxic. It's also going to cause problems in your intestines called leaky gut syndrome, which is going to cause undigested food to leak into your bloodstream. That's also more toxins coming in. So in all these different ways, just by something as simple as bread, you're getting all these toxins into your system that your body can't handle. Your immune system gets overworked and overwhelmed, and it starts attacking different thing. It gets confused and starts attacking your thyroid gland, so you develop Hashimoto's disease, and you get hypothyroidism, which is low thyroid, and that causes you to gain weight. You can develop depression and bipolar disease, which then you start taking medication for that, and that can cause you to gain weight. You can also develop other autoimmune system problems, which make you tired all the time and put your body in fat storage mode. It can cause inflammation, and the hormones involved in inflammation, what are called pro-inflammatory cytokines, they activate the fat programs. So in all these different ways, toxins can cause you to gain weight. Now, what also happens is that if you're taking in more toxins than you can eliminate, your body's going to store those toxins in your fat cells. And your body's not going to resist burning the fat because it's just going to cause you to pour more toxins into your body once you burn the fat. So what do you do about all this? Well, one of the things you can do is try to eat more live and real foods. So the foods we recommend, the protein, the omega-3s, and the live food, more of those and less of the processed foods that cause leaky gut that have all the toxins. Drink lots and lots of water. Have lots of green juices. They help flush out toxins. Things like chlorella and spirulina help flush out toxins. But lots of liquids, lots of alkaline vegetables will help flush out toxins. Things to improve your digestion, like taking probiotics and digestive enzymes. All the things we recommend, basically, will help reduce those toxins so that it makes it much easier for your body to burn fat. Okay. Good question.
All right.
What's the next?
One from Mona and Kerry about stress, like chronic fatigue, working in a threatening environment and having lack of resources, stimulating the salmon state. Where should they begin to try and convince their bodies that it is safe to lose the weight?
When they have lack of it, when they're feeling in a famine state, in terms of just repeat the question one more time. So there's one part I missed. You cut out.
Sorry. If you suffer from chronic fatigue or stress,
yeah,
how can you help your body come out of that famine state that's been caused?
Yeah. Okay. I sort of answered that question accidentally in the previous question, because the things that cause your body to come out of chronic fatigue are things that strengthen your immune system. So all the dietary recommendations that I just had about having more greens, more water, I would avoid all wheat and dairy, period, end of story, and trying to get organic whenever possible. Those are really important, but then also equally important for chronic fatigue and autoimmune problems is reducing stress through visualizations and dealing with past traumas. It's been my experience that most autoimmune issues that people that I've talked to, you can trace it back to an emotional thing that happened, an emotional trauma that just totally overworked the body. The body couldn't handle it, and it overworked it. So that's been the case in a lot of instances, more than I could really ignore. So dealing with the emotional traumas and the stresses, and then doing all the things I just talked about to nourish your body and flush out toxins will strengthen your immune system dramatically, especially taking more digestive things like fermented foods, probiotics, and digestive enzymes. All these things strengthen your immune system. Really what you have to do is you got to give your whole system a break. So it's getting overwhelmed by all of the fears and the traumas that you have. It's getting overwhelmed by all the toxins, all the digestive problems, all the hormonal problems, all the medication, all the processed food. All these things are just totally overwhelming us. So what we're doing is piece by piece, we're making us more healthy and taking away all these different things that are totally overworking and overwhelming our immune system. Okay, Shan, let's take one more question, and then I think we might call it a day.
Sure. This one's from Yvette. She's asking about how much time should we actively practice mindfulness each day. Is it something to practice as we think of it, or should we put aside specific time for mindfulness meditation?
Okay. So mindfulness meditation is something that we talked about in the webinar with Paul. And once again, we're going to replay those webinars sometime in the next coming week. So check your emails for that. And definitely listen to that session. It's a great session. But mindfulness meditation is being very, very present and very aware. And what I would suggest with mindfulness meditation is you do two things. One is you have a specific time where for 5 minutes each day you set out and you do nothing but practice mindfulness. And what will happen when you're doing that is your mind's going to say, we don't have time for this because the report's due and because we got to pick up this one and that one and blah, 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 blah. Your mind's just always, for whatever reason, your mind's going to do whatever it can to distract you. Set aside 5 minutes where you convince yourself that no matter what your mind tells you that needs to be done, you are going to practice to stay focused on right here, right now for 5 minutes. So setting aside a time each day for practicing mindfulness meditation is great, and then practice it whenever you think about it. So if you remember, oh, I need to be present, I need to be mindful, you can get into it much easier. But having that foundation of practicing it for 5 minutes every day will help you remember throughout the day. It'll make it easier to get into that state. It'll help you reconnect to it when you're thinking about it. And then whenever you're thinking about it, get into the present moment. That's what I would recommend. So, okay. Well, Shan, thanks very much. And, thanks everyone for listening. And thanks for Brian. Now, we're in the middle of the mind body weight loss, summit. We're about two or three calls into it. I hope you're all listening to it. I hope you're all enjoying it. I'm finding the speakers to be really, really unique and fascinating. Daniel Benner on tapping was really good. Jenna LaFlemme, I think, is just amazing. She's just so unique in her approach. She does this thing, as for those of you that listen, called pleasurable weight loss. And I love the concept where she's focusing on pleasure, love, and fun, because when you're focused on pleasure, you're not focused on stress. So it's a way of eliminating stress in a really clever and beautiful way, is to focus on pleasure and fun. So she's really, really unique. Frank Ferrante is amazing. So we've got lots more to come. So do listen to those. And my office hours you'll have for next week are up there. And just call me whenever you want to talk. In the meantime, keep up the great work, and we'll speak to you all real soon. Thanks very much.